I remember well the moment when the name of Jesus meant so much to me that I invited him into my heart. And I was 13 years old. And such joy and such peace flooded my soul. And I know you know of that same peace that transcends human understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus until the very end, because he is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And I remember also the burden that I experienced soon after that. And maybe you also have experienced that, those of you who are listening at home. How I just wanted to tell everybody about Jesus and tell them about the joy that I had found and the peace that I had found. I had a special burden for my own family, brothers and sisters who didn't know the Lord. I grew up in a wonderful Christian family, and my mom and dad pointed me to Jesus consistently. But isn't it interesting that sometimes you just need to hear it from somebody else, somebody different, you know, than your mom and dad. And that's kind of what the story is about today. The lesson from Matthew 10. Jesus is sending out his disciples then and us today to share the good news for the lost. And there are more lost today than there ever has been. And so there is a greater urgency, because we are closer to the return of Jesus than we have ever been in human history. And so last week we read that Jesus said, as he had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "You see all these people? The fields are ripe unto harvest. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers." Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is there to seek and save the lost. So let us stand as we read the scriptures from Matthew 10, and it is very appropriate at this point that Jesus has said to them, pray to the Lord of the harvest, and now he's sending them out. Because Jesus has given us the responsibility and the joyful privilege of sharing the good news of the Lord with the lost. So we pick it up here at verse 1 of chapter 10 of Matthew. And he, Jesus, called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, otherwise known as Nathanael, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village that you enter into, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. And as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave the house or that town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Jesus commissions his disciples, the 12, and they're listed here. In other parts of the gospel, they're also listed, and there's a tiny little bit of confusion sometimes about the names, because a lot of them had nicknames. Like Simon, his nickname was the Rock, right? Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." And of course, he said that within the context of people leaving him after he said some hard things, because Jesus is known to say some hard stuff. And the path of following Jesus is not always easy, my brothers and sisters, which I know that you can attest to. And Peter said, when Jesus said, "Will you also leave me, you 12 disciples?" And Peter says, "No, for where will we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life." And that's when Jesus said, "You're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." The rock is not Peter, the man, because he's as broken as the next one. As broken as you and as broken as me. But the statement of faith that Jesus Christ is the one and only, the one who has the words of eternal life, that is the rock. So that when we pray, for example, "Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer," we are talking about the Lord in that. So you have these 12 disciples, and interestingly, in the book or the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew calls them the apostles, and Mark and Luke refer to them as disciples. Now, we talk about the 12 disciples, we talk about the 12 apostles. Here's the slight difference. The Greek word that Matthew uses here is apostoles, and it simply means the sent ones. Okay? I'm sending you out, and I want you to share the good news with the lost. Now, he says, "I don't want you to go into Samaritan villages in the land of Samaria, and I don't want you to go to the Gentiles that live in certain regions around here, but I want you to focus on the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now listen, for 12 people, that was more on their plate than they could say grace over. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is not saying that the message of the Messiah, the good news of the hope of the gospel, is not for Samaritans and is not for Gentiles. Not even, he is saying, for the people of Israel who are scattered all across the Roman world, because we know they were. But he is saying, concentrate your time, your effort on reaching the lost sheep right here in your neighborhood. The time for sharing with the Samaritans would come. The time for going to the Gentiles would come. The time for going to all of the lost people of Israel throughout the Roman Empire. That was all coming, and we can read about that in the book of Acts. Jesus himself said, this gospel will go forth everywhere, but it's going to start in Jerusalem, and then it's going to go to the province of Judea, and then it's going to spill over into Samaria, and then it's going to go to the ends of the earth. Again, Jesus is giving this assignment to 12 disciples, and he's being very, very specific about it, okay? Because again, these guys can only do so much. Maybe that's a word for us too. You know, we don't have to be thinking that we have to accomplish world evangelism. But we can start here. You've all heard of the expression, think globally, but act locally. I'm thinking that's maybe what's going on here. The message of the gospel is going to go to the four corners of the earth in God's perfect time, according to his perfect plan. But for now, right here in Matthew 10, he's sending his 12 disciples and he's saying, preach the good news. What's that good news? The Messiah has come. The longing of the heart of the people of Israel for God to be with them, it's arrived. And Jesus is the one. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. And so he sends them and he says, don't take extra clothes with you. Don't take any money. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of tough. But again, he's not necessarily talking about you today. If you go to the mission field, that you should bring nothing with you. But he's talking specifically to his 12 disciples, and he's saying, I want you to go into towns and villages, and I want you to heal the sick. I want you to proclaim the good news that the kingdom has arrived. And when we talk about the arrival of the kingdom, it's none other than the reality that the king is amongst us. And Jesus is that king. So that's the good news that they're supposed to share. And they do. I have this idea, and we talked about it on Tuesday in our prayer time and our study, that as the disciples went into a specific village, let's say, and they started telling everybody, we got good news and we want to share it with you. Almost like the town crier. And Jesus is that good news. The kingdom is amongst you. And people came and perhaps they were a little curious. Well, they said, is there anyone in your household that needs healing? Because they were sent out to heal, to cast out demons, to do beautiful things in the name of Jesus. And let's say, Roberta, for the sake of argument, that you and Jason were there and you heard them and you're like, you're curious. And Samuel was sick. And you say, yeah, my son is sick. He's got a high fever. I don't know what's going on. And one of the disciples lays his hand on Samuel. And instantly, he's healed. Wow. Now, I'm gonna guess, Roberta, that you and Jason, at the end of that day, you're going to invite the disciples to come into your house and stay with you. Don't you think? As a matter of gratitude. You're going to be like, please come stay with us. We're so excited that you're here. We're so grateful that you laid your hand of healing upon our son Samuel. So you're a worthy person in that sense. Because that's what Jesus is talking about. Enter into a village, and if there's a home that takes you in that's worthy, then reside with them. And as you come into that home, say your blessing of peace. Peace be upon you. Peace be upon this home. And if that family is worthy, the peace will stay. And if they're unworthy, it will depart. Well, what makes you worthy? Except that the Lord has already done something special in your life. What makes you worthy? Except that the Holy Spirit has already stirred in your heart to hear the good news and to receive the good news. I have some friends, we have missionaries that we support from this very church, and they work amongst Muslims. And their strategy when they go into any place is to look for what they call a person of peace. Have you ever heard that expression? A person of peace, right? What does that mean? That's somebody who is willing to extend hospitality to them, and not just extending hospitality, but also a listening ear. Tell us your story. So they're always looking for a person of goodwill, a person of peace. Now I ask you this, that worthiness that Jesus is talking about, is that intrinsic to that individual or is it a gift of grace? That worthiness actually, I believe, is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ already working in the heart of that family, in that home. Oops. Getting a little excited here. All right. Fortunately, it's still recording. So, Jesus is saying, don't pack lunches or money for food for this trip that I'm sending you out on. Okay? You walk to all these distant villages, and the family that is worthy, they'll provide for you. They'll give you a place to sleep. They'll give you the food that you need, okay? Now, I just want to say something about our missionaries today. And it has to do with freely you have been given. Freely you have received, freely give. Any of you know that old song? Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name and because you believe, others will know that I live. It's one of the songs that I learned as a teenager. And I just love the sentiment of that. Because that Jesus is saying, you received the gift of faith. And it costs you nothing. So don't charge other people, per se, for the privilege of hearing the good news of the gospel. Okay, it's one thing to pay up front. And it's one thing to pay after. Okay? And it's like the whole process of justification and sanctification. We receive the gift of the Lord free, do we not? But once we are in Christ, we bear fruit unto righteousness. Okay? But the fruit that we bear is not giving us merit before the Father as though, hey, now I'm worthy. No, we were worthy in Christ before we ever did anything. But the fruit that we bear is testimony to the fact that we are connected to the vine. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
But bear fruit in me that is fitting and appropriate. And what kind of fruit are we going to bear when we're connected to the vine and the sap is flowing through us? Jesus fruit. We're going to look like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And that is a matter of being rooted in Christ, but also living a life of gratitude to the Lord. Lord, you have done so much for me. And now I want to dedicate my life and my all and my wealth to you for your glory and your praise and for your honor. You see the difference? One is a response of gratitude. And that is the response that we need to have in our hearts. Okay, now, we have to approach a missionary strategy a little bit different. You know that our church supports like a half a dozen missionaries, right? And just the other day, we had a mission committee meeting, and we had this privilege of hearing the stories of some new missionaries and supporting them, okay? So the fact is that when you have a couple and they're going to go to Jordan or they're going to go to the Fulani people in Africa, they're not going to be able to charge up front for those people to have the privilege of listening to the gospel, right? No, they're not going to do that. But when you go because you are sent and you are enabled by your family, your church family, to be representatives and ambassadors, then you can share the story without charge. But see, somebody has to bear the cost of that. Don't you agree? Either you individually are going to have to bear the cost of that. And in Paul's case, we understand that he bore that responsibility. Remember he said to the church at Corinth, he said, I am so glad that I didn't charge you a cent. I was a tent maker. He said, I raised all my own support. And whatever support that we garnered from whatever church, like the Church of Jerusalem, when the Church of Jerusalem heard that some saints were in hard times because of a drought, they collected that offering and they gave it 100% to the people that needed it. So Paul could say he was a tent maker, but not everybody can be a tent maker, correct? So that's why we have support for missions. We raised, as I said in the past, probably $25,000, $26,000 for missions just through our labors, but also the junk, so to speak, that people brought in. You know, what do they say? One man's junk is another man's treasure. And we've parlayed that into more than $25,000 worth of support for our missionaries. What a grace. What a mercy. What a joy that we can do that. And let us be lavish in our giving of our gold and silver. Not a mite would I withhold, that beautiful song goes. Let's give it all. Because you have received the gift of salvation and life in Christ freely, and now you must also freely give. Now, not all of us are called to go to far off places, but we're all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And in the song that we just sang, it says, may the beauty of the Lord shine. You know, Paul describes this in Corinthians. He says, when we go out to the lost, we are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved. I remember a story in Turkey. My wife and I went several years ago to visit Andrew Brunson and his family because they were planting a church in Izmir, the biblical city that's mentioned in Revelation of Smyrna. And he tells the story, they have a little church and a little hole in the wall, and some Turkish Muslim is walking by, and he knocks on the door and he says, what is that fragrance? I have never in my life smelled something so beautiful. And Andrew and people in the church were able to share with this individual the fragrance of Christ. It's God's work from beginning to end. We're his vessels. He's called us to be actively engaged. That's the privilege here. You know, if Jesus wanted to save everybody, he could do that all himself. He doesn't need his disciples. He doesn't need his apostles. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't really need that, right? Because he is all powerful and he can do all things. But he has chosen to use each and every one of us to share the good news around the world and around the corner. So ask yourself, as a teacher, as a grandparent, as a nurse, as a veterinarian, as someone who teaches in higher education, wherever you are, ask yourself, how may I pop the cork off of the fragrance of Christ? Look for opportunities to share the good news of the gospel wherever you are. Open your eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That's not just only to see the beauty of God in Christ, but it's also a prayer to ask God to say, Lord, open the eyes where I see that you are at work all around me. And God, may I join you in your work of sharing the good news with the lost. Amen.